So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show Special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause.
We kick off the fall with the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause here across the Jacob Network. J-Doc, good to have you here following Labor Day weekend, and we come out of the box with a great show and a great guest for the full hour today. Set the table for the listening audience. Then I'm going to do some housekeeping and some house updating for our listeners and our viewers about our new expansion out onto Roku TV. But set the table for the listening audience, and a welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Joe. And certainly it's going to be a dynamic show. Last week's show, we had the opportunity to have Rob Baer, Jim Welty, Jim Snell, and John Bain on the program. And the big conversation was the Pennsylvania Energy and Innovation Summit, okay, that took place back in July, okay? And such an air of optimism and a lot of those things. People are just so excited about the future. We have Sean Steffi on today. And anybody who knows Sean Steffi, he's one of the most dynamic labor leaders in the country, number one. And he's incredibly passionate about energy and the energy sector as it relates to labor and his workforce. Sean is the business agent for Boilermakers Local 151, and he's involved in the Pennsylvania building trades across the state. And so we talk about the Innovation Summit last week. We're going to talk a little bit more about it, okay? But today, okay, we have the opportunity to talk about the actual projects, okay, that are on the horizon, okay? Let me say this. I mean, and what a difference a year makes, okay? This time last year, right after Labor Day, we've been getting beat up by left-wing environmentalists on a constant basis where common sense is clearly not a priority, Okay. We all care about the environment. You know that. We're not willing to shut ourselves down in our country and sacrifice our energy security in order to do it, to give those same resources that we have here in the United States and in Pennsylvania over to somebody else. Okay. Right now, and renewables are in the market, coming in the market. Nobody's fighting that at all. But let me say this. Nobody's talking about renewables right now. Okay. AI is powering, okay, our future, the future of energy. We're talking about our data, you know, the new data companies that are coming in, the facilities, okay, and a ton of things are going on. So like Sean said, don't be surprised when coal jumps back into the picture. And certainly, you know, begging the question, has AI rescued America from the insanity of the energy cancel culture? Because the future is AI and the future is now, and it's here to stay. So we're either going to work together or we're going to steamroll them. But that's the way it's going to go. And that we're going to talk all about that and the new projects coming in. Okay. When we bring Sean Steffi back on the program.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. I had a conversation yesterday with a member of the steel workers down at the Labor Day parade talking about Three Mile Island and what nuclear means to this evolution of what's happening. So I look forward to that conversation. Before we get into our commercial break, you'll see, if you're watching us, you'll see scrolling across the bottom of the screen, you can now download the NetStream app. And you can watch the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause. And you can watch us on Apple TV, Roku TV, and Fire TV. So we've added that element to the show. And we're about 6 weeks or 7 weeks into the expansion of the Labor Show, J. Doc. And I'll give you just a quick 30 seconds to comment on it. It's all about expanding the conversation and the education. So when Sean Steffi talks today, in this conversation, we can get that out and we can reach more people.
No question, Joe. The streaming platforms are what's going on today. Of course, we still have our talk radio platforms, and but the streaming platforms, like you mentioned, downloading the NetStream app, Apple TV, Roku TV, and Fire TV. We're so excited to be national, okay? And so, yeah, you can download our shows and watch our shows. Okay, that's the beauty of it. On any of those streaming channels, it's so awesome to be growing and expanding our message. We're also going to be launching our social media campaign, you know, on our Facebook, our new Facebook group. Okay, and Joe, you're going to be producing all those shorts, and you know, we got a lot of great things on the horizon, and can't wait to bring common sense and energy to the general public, and we couldn't be more excited about it.
Tough putt when you have a face for radio, but we'll ask the audience.
I fought the video, Joe. I fought it like hell.
We'll ask the audience to follow and work through as we proceed. Let's get started. We'll get to a commercial break on the other side. J-Doc and Sean Steffi, this is the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS. Carpenters.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Labor and Energy Show, proudly presented by PBF Energy, also EQT Corporation, American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers, and Monroe Energy.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420. Jim Snell, Business Manager.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. That's why Labor First works with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising the member experience. Retirees can stay stress-free by calling a dedicated health care advocate to guide them through their health plans and answer questions. And now Labor First is excited to introduce Health Active, a new solution for active employees and early retirees. Health Active offers the same trusted advocacy support tailored to meet the unique needs of today's active workforce. To learn more, visit laborfirst.com.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show, ladies and gentlemen, on the Jacob Media Network. Couldn't be happier to have on Sean Steffi, BA, Boilermakers Local 154, also a member of our Labor and Alliance Board of Directors. Sean, how are you, sir?
Very good today, J-Doc. It's been a great weekend.
Well, I tell you, and so we're broadcasting this show on a week after Labor Day, but Labor Day was an incredible day. Okay, certainly, I know you guys had a great experience in Pittsburgh and out west, and of course here in Philly, it was fantastic. One of the things I loved about it, Sean and Krause will tell you this, over the last 25 years, okay, there's been a lot of different types of weather, okay, on Labor Day. I can remember our tent flying into the Delaware River, okay, several decades ago. And it wasn't even several decades. It was within the last 7-8 years. But it's happened a number of times. So, you know, we were enjoying that fantastic weather yesterday and the solidarity, great show of solidarity for our unions here, you know, of course, in the city of Philadelphia and beyond. And great day. Talk about the spirit in your neck of the woods, my friend.
Well, it was just a perfect afternoon and morning for weather. Our everybody showed up. Union definitely showed that, you know, organized labor showed the commitment that we have, you know, to all of our local unions and, you know, organized labor as a whole. And it's a great day just to not only honor our members that, you know, all of us, you know, have in our labor unions and showcase what we do. And, you know, we're all excited for the future, what's coming. Like we were talking, you know, before, you know, things are coming. It's going to happen. And never before then, right now, we're going to need blue collar labor, skilled.
And you know, Sean, I haven't heard you as this excited in years. And when you and I talked, when we were conceptualizing the show, I couldn't have been more excited. And so even yesterday, when we were preparing for the show, couldn't wait for today. At Labor Day, we had the opportunity. One of the great things about, as fortunate as we are, and that goes for, our Pennsylvania union community and Western PA, where you guys are at. We have that saying, if, you know, as far as being involved in politics, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. Right. That's and great correct. Leaders, yep. Labor leaders like yourself, have established that standard. OK, we were fortunate enough to have Mayor Sherelle Parker on, our Philadelphia building trades business manager, Ryan Boyer, Jimmy Snell, okay, who's on our board from the Steamfitters Local 420, and a number of our political leaders. What was awesome is just the optimism about labor in general, okay, the partnership that's there. We've invested that here in Pennsylvania, okay, a priority, which is why across the state, you know, unions have a voice. Okay, it's because of our great leadership, like yourself and the Boilermakers were all out there, and your friend John Bland, Brad Mikitavich, and all those guys. Everybody was obviously showing solidarity in the parade. Having said that, one of the conversations was also energy. Okay, and you know, we talked about the summit, the recent energy summit at Carnegie Mellon. Okay. You and I would like to touch on that. Okay. Just a couple minutes before we get into all the excitement. Okay. Because this is, well, you and I are talking last week, like we had the opportunity to talk about exclusively the summit, the PA Energy and Innovation Summit at Carnegie Mellon University, which was on July 15th, still the talk of the town. Okay. Rob Bear with Jim Welty, Jim Snell, and John Bain were on last week's show, and that was our focus. I want to touch on it now because we're, you know, just a little bit because you were there, but also we're taking it a step farther now, okay, because we're going to talk about the projects, what's actually going on, okay, and I can't wait to hear, obviously, your input here. So before we, you know, go much farther, talk about, you know, your take in the summit, and did it bring an air of optimism to what's going on here in Pennsylvania? Because I said, what a difference a year makes, man. Last Labor Day, the Labor Day before that, and how labor and energy has been getting beat up by the energy council culture. Now, all of a sudden, AI and data centers are here, okay, and we have the summit here. Talk about your experience at the summit, number one. And number two, talk about the air of optimism. Before we get into the actual projects, talk about the air of optimism in Pennsylvania, you know, that's going on because of what's happening.
Sure. So I did attend the summit. I was there and listened to, you know, a lot of the speakers there. And, you know, a lot of leaders were there in AI and political leaders, you know, the heavy hitters were there. And, you know, even before the summit, right now, this AI and the industrial revolution of advanced manufacturing has taken the chessboard and just flipped it upside down. Okay. It's a whole new start because this AI is going to need so much reliable electricity that it will be time to build out what we know that I've always spoken for how many years now that we need this reliable baseload electricity, but now it's taking it to the new level because this power generation, whether it is gas, nuclear, or maybe coal, and you know the renewable end of it, you know there could be a possibility for it, but it has to be reliable baseload electricity, and that's why they want to put these power blocks with the data centers because it's before the meter and they need, you know, unbelievable amounts of electricity. Just the one project that we're going to speak at about today is 4,200 megawatts, seven units that's going to data centers. And what people have to realize is that can't be unreliable baseload electricity. It cannot be intermittent. It has to be on demand. These servers and these data centers have to have a full baseload going to keep it going. It can't have a brownout. It's got to happen. And that's where it's so exciting for us, and especially Western PA.
And what's interesting about it, I asked this question, I forget who to who, but you know, one of my main concerns was, can these data centers be located overseas? Okay. And the answer is no. We need, like you said, on-demand access. We need them within the vicinity of the data centers that they are going to be and in the communities that they're going to be impacting and the data centers that are going to be powered. So, you know, we have so much going on. You know, I ask you in some cases, Sean, because a lot of times, man, you know, we've sat here, banged our heads up against the wall, all sitting here going, man, we care about the environment. You're a damn a fisherman and an environmentalist for crying out loud. OK, it's almost like we're in the twilight zone, but it begs to the question. OK, and I've said that are the data centers and is AI saving America's traditional energy industry? And will it give us the opportunity to have common sense and energy, okay, to be able to have an all-of-the-above energy approach? Talk about that, if you will, and the impact of AI and the data centers, okay, in the face of a very harsh landscape, you know, since I can remember these days.
Sure. So, you know, for how many years now, J-Doc, we've talked just about baseload electricity for the consumer, me and you, okay? And it's stressed out right now. Our grid's stressed out. Now you add on this extra burden that we got to come up with if we are going to be number one in the world in AI. And people got to realize how much Pennsylvania can play into that. We have the brownfield sites to build these on. We have the water. We have the transmission lines. We have the energy infrastructure right there. They're ready to go like Homer City. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've got world-class gas producers right here in Pennsylvania, you know, that can produce the gas and get it to us. So you got your upstream, midstream, downstream. We got it covered. Where else better than in Pennsylvania to build it out? We got, and it's going to be challenging. It's going to be challenging to come up with these numbers and build it up, but I think we're all ready to take the challenge right now, especially, you know, skilled labor in the building trade and especially the Boilermakers. We're ready to take this challenge.
Now, when we talk about the summit, okay, and the mixture of individuals that was there, okay, bipartisan, okay, a situation where you got Donald Trump in the same room with Governor Shapiro.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of the heavyweights in energy and, of course, labor in the same room for the same reason. OK, what does that tell you, OK, about the potential of realizing this plan?
So what that tells me, J-Doc, and this is just strictly my opinion, that we know that this is where we have to go right now to get us over the top and be number one. So you had Senator McCormick, you had Governor Shapiro, you had the Trump administration, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of Energy, you had all your tech giants there. They were there for one reason. We got to build out that you're not building any of this without electricity generation. And that's what it came down to. And Pennsylvania is a player. There's a reason why we're, you know, one of the largest gas producers in North America with the Marcellus Shale. There's a reason that we're, you know, number one in electricity generation, export and electricity. That's because of the work skills that we have here with blue collar labor. And it's because we're standing on an abundance of fossil fuel, natural gas, and not to, you know, cut nuclear out of it either. We have a lot of nuclear facilities. You know, the upstart of Three Mile Island, like you're talking about. So we're ready to, you know, take the challenge here in Northeast, you know, part of the country, and especially PA. We can be the leader and we can do it. And this is where we need to go. And what people got to realize when they think, you know, AI, why really using it? Hey, every email you send, every phone call you take, every picture you take, everything that you're doing on your computer and your phone, that's basically AI. Data centers.
What's interesting about that is, you know, I'm not the most techie person on the planet. About a year ago, Krauss and I were I had to stop by his office to grab, some equipment. And he started talking to me about AI and, you know, just helping me with my interviews, right? You know, I'll check out ChatGPT, Sean, it's changed my life. Okay. And I've, you know, have some old school buddies, you know, like we all do. And, you know, the conversation, obviously they've heard of it. And this is so powerful. This is the future. This is the future of the planet there. You just try it one time at the lowest, you realize what we're talking about. And so the fact of the matter is that, look, the world's going to change technologically, okay? And I think there's obviously still going to be a ton of ways for our traditional, methods. But the fact is, if you're not using AI, I don't think AI is going to wipe off the traditional workforce.
No.
But it certainly will. So, you know, help those who are utilizing it, number one. And number two, put people at a great disadvantage who are not using it. And so I'll get into these minor conversations with buddies. And I'm a very easy, you know, like, in other words, I'm a compromiser. I don't even sit down and go, listen, this is not even a discussion. Go try this, you know, check this out, Call me in a day, okay? So it's not only here, it's leading the way to our future. And when we having said that, I don't think there's any doubt that our political leaders know this. Okay. Yeah. Our political leadership, obviously our energy community leadership. All right. Let's talk about Governor Shapiro. Okay. Here we are in PA. You and I have talked about this. You have stood on the top of the highest mountain, okay, about losing projects to other states, to surrounding states, okay? This ain't going away, okay? No. We talked about Reggie and all those things, and then happened to sign an agreement to be in a network with other states, surrounding states that don't have hardly any energy resources. And we're going to tie ourselves to them, right? That's in the Supreme Court. Fact of the matter is, though, here's AI. It's not going anywhere, okay? When we talked about Reggie, we knew that if we decide to join that and we lose all of our opportunities, the surrounding states are just picking them up, yep. Okay? And the environmental goals right down the toilet for the environmentalists. So here we are. Governor Shapiro is at the forefront at the summit. Okay. He knows, no question. If we don't do this, it's happening. There's no doubt about it. Talk about his disposition right now in the future. And the future is now of AI and the projects you and I are going to talk about.
So the governor is absolutely a smart man. There's no doubt about it. He knows what's coming. He knows what this country's got to do. It's not even a Pennsylvania thing. We got to be number one in AI, okay? And he knows that the electricity demand is going to be through the roof. And a point that I would like to make, that going back a little bit, you know, this AI is going to replace a lot of jobs that have done repetitiously in the past. You know, there's so many people that might be, you know, being replaced by AI. But I'm going to tell you something, J-Doc. There's never been a brighter moment for skilled building trades labor. You're going to need welders. You're going to need electricians. You're going to need boilermakers. You're going to need all of us in the building trades, because AI is not replacing us yet. Somebody's going to build this infrastructure that they want, and it's going to be building trades. And this is what's going to be very important. It's going to be blue-collar, lunchbox-carrying, skilled labor that's going to build out this future. And it's coming. And I think the governor understands that. And I think that he's ready to jump on board. And, you know, he wants to do it the right way. He wants the environment, you know, to be clean. And I do, too. I live here. It's not like I live in another state, okay? My family lives here, my grandkids, my kids. I want it to be done the right way, and I think that we can do it the right way. We can capitalize on this, and we can become, you know, very organized in blue-collar labor, especially building trades right now, bring more young men and women into our fold. But we got to start at the school level, too. We got to quit demonizing the fossil fuel industry. We need blue-collar men and women to come to us and go to work and want to learn a trade, because this is going to be unbelievable what we have to build out in the future.
So I'm talking about adapting, and I was talking to Jimmy Snell about this yesterday and at the Labor Day parade. Talk about how we're preparing, okay, our apprentices, but also upgrading our journey, men and women, okay, to be prepared. It's one of the great examples of organized labor, okay, having a skilled workforce and an educated workforce, but also the fact that we upgrade. We have journeymen, upgrade classes, educating ourselves all the time. Talk about the preparation, what we're doing in labor, what the boilermakers are doing to make sure, this is fantastic, awesome. And then when the rubber hits the road, you know, you can't handle it. We can handle it. We're preparing now. Talk about it, Sean.
So, hey, listen, there's advances in welding processes, new machines. there's advancement in, you know, probably a lot of other technologies, you know, on inspections and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, getting young men and women into our training centers, training them, preparing them, ready to go out in the field, put these things together, weld these, you know, the ductwork, you know, the tubes, the pipes. And it's going to be a monumental task to meet this, what they're asking for. But if anybody can do it, it's building trades labor, okay? And it's just me. We're second to none. You know, our numbers are there. We've done it in the past. We've proven that we can do it. We've built, you know, how much steel mills, power plants in the past, gas plants, coal plants. We've maintained them. We're ready to take this challenge on. But a big thing is right now, you're talking about Governor Shapiro, we need a commitment off of our politicians, off of both of them. This is the direction we want to go, that we're committed for us to take in all these new apprentices, hundreds of them, you know, that we're building this out. A lot of these projects that I spoke to you about, yeah, they're on paper, but we need a commitment. Like, hey, we're going to need these numbers, because we take these people in, we got to have a place to train them and send them. Okay.
You know, yeah, no question about it. And we're working with industry, right? The yes. energy corporations, the owners of these projects. We're working hand in hand with them, obviously, to be ready when it's time to hit the ground going.
Yes. The numbers they're looking for is just through the roof. It's unbelievable. Okay. But, you know, I guess my point is, and it's just me speaking, you know, I don't want to say, hey, this project got announced, I'm probably going to need 400 Boilermakers there. And then a year later, they're like, oh, well, we had to cancel that project. The permitting was a problem.
Yeah.
We're going to move on. We can't have that. We got to see it set in paper. We got to have a commitment for us in labor, too, from the politicians and from the people that want to build this, that this is going to happen. And we need to streamline the permitting process and speed it up. And I know that's something the governor wants to do. And it's going to happen. And it's going to be bipartisan. Whether you're Republican, a Democrat, an independent, libertarian, it doesn't matter. AI's coming, and we need to get it built out. It's going to come from blue-collar workers that are going to take us over the top.
Exactly. And here's the thing, okay? We're going to take a quick break right now, but I do want to say this. This is a historic time, okay? We cannot let what happened in solar, where China took it all from us, okay? We cannot let that happen with AI. Right now, the ball's in our court. It's happening. We just have to strike while it's hot, and it's an incredible opportunity. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show and our guest, Sean Steppy, in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. We're having an incredible discussion with Sean Steffi, BA, Boilermakers Local 154, also a member of our Labor and Energy Alliance. AI is here. The data centers are a stone's throw away from happening, okay? And PA is if not the most resourceful state in the nation when it comes to natural energy resources to be able to make all this happen, okay? One thing, we're going to get into the actual centers now and the possible, you know, everything that you want to talk about and see what's on the horizon. But how can listeners, okay, and our union members, okay, our rank and file members and any leaders that are listening, but also members of our general public and our union families, how can their voices be heard, Sean? Okay, as we talk right here, and I know there may not be a hotline right now for a specific project, but in general, along with staying in tune with what's going on and paying attention, because these things come real quickly, how can the general public and the rest of the labor community not only stay engaged, but also have their voices heard with our policymakers?
That's a great point, J-Doc. And the big thing is, and for me as a Boilermaker agent and the rest of my, you know, officers and my business manager, we educate our members at our meetings. We let them know what's going on. We tell them what's happening. And, you know, Joe Public needs to be able to confront their politicians. They want cheap electricity bills. They want to move forward AI. Nobody wants to be second to China and nothing. We want the jobs back. Okay, at the end of the day, jobs takes care of a lot of problems. And these jobs in this industry, especially for us in labor, are great blue-collar family-sustaining jobs. They're great wages. It's a great career. We're not offering just a job. We're offering careers. And we got to stay on them. And they got to understand. And we got to take the political blinders off, the partisanness on this. You can save them debates for another day. Right now, this is a race to the top for our country and our state. And we can play a role in it. And we just got to stay on them. And every time you talk to them or they come to your door and they're looking for a vote, confront them. Ask them questions and see what their answers are. And that decides whether you want to vote. At the end of the day, you get to vote at the ballot box. And that could be the difference between a politician you want there and a politician you don't want.
So having said that, let's get into some of the projects, okay?
Sure.
Because we're looking at some major stuff going on here. First off, the Homer City Data Center, okay? It's supposed to be the largest natural gas-powered data center in the country. Talk about that.
Sure. So Homer City, which we all knew was the largest coal-fired plant in Pennsylvania at the time. It closed, I want to say, three or four years ago? I'm not exactly sure. And it was a big void, especially for us and the Boilermakers. You know, we had millions of man hours at that place. We played a role in building it in the early 70s. So next thing you know, it got announced that they were going to put hyperscale data centers and a power block. At the time, we didn't know. When it came out, it's 7 units, 4,200 megawatts, largest natural gas power plant in the United States. The gas is going to come from EQT, which is a world-class, you know, gas producer, and they're going to give us the gas. The pipeline will get run. I'm not sure how many miles the pipeline will come, and it's going to go to this facility, and the dirt's being moved right now. The demo of the plant is in the process. The data centers or the dirt, they're moving dirt down there for the pad site for the data centers, and this will be a job that will be a benchmark in PA. We build this and we crush it and we do what we need to do. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a challenge. What they want done in the time frame is definitely a challenge for all of us in labor. But, you know, we're ready for this challenge. And we get this one going. We got so many more coming. They're saying right now we're looking at about 3,500 building trades labor guys just on the power block. I'm not counting the data center and I'm not counting the demo, okay? And they're saying at peak, you know, throughout this whole 5-6 year process, you're probably looking at about 10,000 construction jobs. And when it's done, when it's over, the ripple effect jobs and permanent jobs are right around 1,000. And you're not counting about like maintenance. There's going to be maintenance there. There's heavy HVAC, electrical, the power block. You know, we do maintenance on them all the time on the power plant part of it. So this is kind of the gift that keeps giving on, you know, work hours. And if I could just hit on this point, J-Doc, and again, I don't want anybody to think that I'm a pure hater on the renewables, okay? But I just don't believe that they're yet, And it really can be used, but it has to be a strategic geographic location because – if you take this 3,200-acre site of Homer City, okay, they're going to produce the 4,200 megawatts. if you were going to produce that kind of electricity with solar and wind, you would need approximately 230 square miles and 75 million solar panels.
Right.
If you were going to do this with wind, you're looking at about 1,870 square miles and some 5,000 wind turbines. Okay. That's just not viable. Okay. We're doing this on a 3,200 acre site. There's room to put more on there. And we're going to produce 4,200 megawatts, and that data centers are going to be on there too. That's practical. Transmission lines are there. The gas is there. Everything is there. That's just the intelligent thing to do and what we have to do right now.
I mean, the destruction of to the environment would be unprecedented.
Yes.
Okay. If you were to turn that into a wind farm, which we, like you alluded to, you need so much more room.
Yes.
It's actually unimaginable. Okay. And like you said at the beginning, for nobody sitting here talking about, we're renewable solar and wind, we don't want it. We're not saying either or at all. We're saying, we got to put it, work it together. And we have the highest environmental standards on the planet here. Okay.
Yes.
That's the one thing, obviously, our environmentalists have made sure of, and we all benefit from that. But this has to be a common sense approach. Well said. Where are we with the project, Sean?
Sure. So I'm hoping that we can start moving dirt on the power block part of it with Kiewit. Kiewit is the general contractor. We have a rapport with Kiewit here in the past. They built, Fairview, I think it was Wellsville or Hilltop, another gas plant. And they were also here at Homer City when they built the scrubbers there. That was like almost a $1 billion project. So we've worked with them in the past. They're really a huge contractor. They have the ability to pull off something like this. And when you look at the numbers and what they want to do, J-Doc, it's going to be phenomenal. Like, they want to build four units at one time. They want to be building the data centers as it goes. And, let's just talk about what it's going to take financially to build this. The money's unbelievable. So we're at approximately, according to them, at about $15 billion right now for, the gas and the power block. And they have not even added in the data center expense. I'm thinking you're pushing somewhere around $20 billion for this build out, J-Doc. That's unbelievable money, and that's unbelievable man hours for building trades, all of us here in Western PA. And I'm probably looking at close to 300 Boilermakers alone just on that job site, which is, that's a blessing for us. This is what we've been waiting for.
And the tax dollars that go into our communities.
Yes. The economic benefit is through the roof for our community, our school district. It's just going to be phenomenal. And, putting kids back in our school and the local economy, the ripple effect jobs from the little shop, the pizza shop, to the gas station, to what comes down the road, ripple effect on the data centers. It's just, this is what we've been waiting for. Homer City has been a depressed area after our coal left, after the coal plant. This is what it needed. And quite frankly, the county, this is what it needed, Indiana County and the area.
So, Sean, let's talk about, there's a couple other projects. I want to talk about the Green County project.
Yep.
Talk about that.
So just last week, my business manager, Mike Stanton, went down to a meeting in Green County. And there was an announcement made down there of a potential. It looks like it's going to go. I thought it was going to be on the Masontown power plant, the old coal-fired shutdown, but it's not. And this is open to the public. I sent you the article. It's in Greene County. It's on Consol Energy's property, and it's going to be like a 940-some megawatts, two units. And they're going to use Siemens turbines. And not GE Verona, and they want to build data centers and a power block with potential more turbines and more power to be produced there for these hyperscale data centers. So now you're looking at more jobs, okay, more blue, that falls under, Pennsylvania, especially Pittsburgh building trades. We're going to need, so many men and women, especially in your electrical field, electricians, and your pipe fitters, okay? They're going to need that HVAC, the heating and cooling of these facilities. And, Boilermakers and everybody, iron workers, all of us, we're all going to enjoy this. And you know, it's coming, and it's not being, it's not getting stopped right now. I'm telling you, Jay.
Where are we with that project?
So that just was announced, and they're saying approximately the end of 27, beginning of 28. The Homer City project that I spoke of, like the dirt's being moved now. I'm hoping to see, you know, manpower in there building a power block by the end of this year, beginning of 26.
Now, when you mentioned permitting for our listeners, okay, where are we with the permitting process? And tell our listeners what that is, because it's obviously a major
yes.
part of the projects.
So my understanding is, and this is public, all the permits are secure except the PA air permit at this point. And on September 17th, the Pennsylvania DEP will have a town hall meeting to start the process of, you know, letting the permit go. This is the process they have to go through. So it's a town meeting, taking questions, and you're probably looking at like at least a month before they can issue a permit. And the underground cannot start and the underground piping electrical until this permit is secure. So that's kind of what we're waiting for now. And so, you know, here we are, one permit left. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but, you know, these are the things that, you know, can hold a project up is the permitting. And I feel confident that everything's going to be good. But if you go back to the Renova project in Clinton County, that's what did it in was permitting. So this is where the bipartisan thing got to come in. And we're going to get on board if Pennsylvania wants it. Okay. Sure. Because if Pennsylvania don't want it, somebody's going to take it. They're going to do it.
Okay? We're going to watch. Right. And we're going to watch. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have to sit by the roadside and watch and wonder why we allowed somebody else to take this from us, okay? Yep. The United States has the highest environmental standards on the planet, okay? If we want to miss the boat and let China take it, okay? You know, you don't see many of them. You don't have a lot of advocates over in China, by the way, okay?
And I mean, if I could just say this, J-Dog, listen, at the end of the day, this new administration, the new Trump administration, they're going to build out this infrastructure. They're going to build it out with gas and nuclear and maybe even coal. Whether anybody likes it or not, that's where it's going. The subsidies that and everything that was going into the renewables is not going to happen under this administration. Bottom line, we can argue till we're blue in the face. This is where it's going to go. This is take the blinders
off. But that's a fact. But, Sean, I don't want people thinking that just because the new administration is so pro-traditional energy that we can just sit back and watch this damn thing. Because AI and obviously the data centers are a whole new ball game that were not on the landscape several years ago, okay?
Yes.
When energy projects and building trade projects like the PES refinery were getting shut down while the Trump administration was still in office.
It comes down to the state, J-Dog. And that's what I'm telling you. If we don't want to do it, there's another state that's going to want to do it.
That's 100% right.
Exactly.
And so don't sit by the roadside, people. We got to support these things or we're going to watch them. No question.
That's why it was refreshing to see, you know, Governor Shapiro and Rob Bear and all at that CMU summit. And I was like, there we go. This is what we're going to do. We're going to work together. You got a Republican Senator McCormick sitting there with our, you know, Democratic governor. I'm like, this is what we need. We need this kind of, you know, moving forward. You know, that's what it's
going to happen. I wish I could have been there and saw your face. I know you must have had a grin just sitting there and watching, you know, a bipartisan contingency there. I mean, we only have 6 minutes left, so I just want to spitfire a little bit. You got project up in Upper Burrell County. You got Frontier, the Bruce Mansfield project.
Yep.
And you got Springdale Data Center. Okay. Just touch on them and where we are in those situations.
Okay. So they also, it's been kicked around and pretty much an announcement on the old Alcoa site in Upper Little Burrell. That's Westmoreland County. They also want to build 1,000 megawatts and put data centers there. The Bruce Mansfield site, another retired coal plant in Pennsylvania, they would like to come in and transition the three of them units that they had left into gas. They're right now inspecting them and seeing if it's feasible and build another gas plant there and data centers, okay? We're talking thousands of, you know, manpower there. And then what was the other one that was left? There's so many. The Springdale, Cheswick one.
Right.
That just got announced. They would like to bring data centers there. And we still have a plethora of brownfield sites left that we can keep building this out on. We still have Mason Town. We have Reesdale. We have old coal fire sites that, you know, El Rama, that we could do this in the future. These are just a few projects that have been announced in the newspaper, and they want to move forward. There's investment and interest in it.
Talk about, Sean, what these projects will do for the communities that they're in, okay? Because it was like an entire life. Like you mentioned before, you know, these plants and these, you know, these facilities, they didn't only hire members from the community. They supported like you mentioned, the surrounding stores, a whole different community. Okay. Aside from the tax base, talk about the impact, not only on AI and the data centers, but on the surrounding communities of these projects.
So I'd like to go back to the Homer City project. They had a town hall meeting and had everybody in to announce what was going on, you know, finally publicly. And, you know, I was asked to sit there in the front of the stage. And, you know, one of the big concerns from everybody locally, and I live here, I'm from Homer City, was like, there's not going to be any local jobs. There's not going to be any local jobs. Well, I'd reached out. I'm also the president of South Central Building Trades, which will cover that Homer City project. So when I had all my building trades leaders at my, I said, listen, I need you to come to this meeting. I need you to bring your members. I need them to show that the people that are going to be working there, they are in your community. They live there. We need to be more transparent in the building trades. People don't realize, like, my neighbor works for the Boilermakers. My other neighbor is a pipe fitter. Down the road, so-and-so is an electrician, local five, you know. And we showed up in mass numbers. There were so many of us at that meeting, they couldn't let us all in the facility. And we set up our, everybody set up like, you know, an apprentice tent, you know, trying to, you know, hey, we're going to take your young people in here. We're offering careers, not jobs. And to build this out is going to be, it's fantastic for the area. It breathes life back in there where there was nothing. When these coal plants shut down, you know, it took so many ripple effect jobs with it also that, you know, fueled that coal plant from the little shop to a gas station to houses, you know, the whole nine yards. This is going to be a renaissance for what we need to build out in these areas. And that goes for all these places that have these potential builds. They're building on places that lost jobs and big facilities, and we're going to replace it with more jobs. It's just a different, everybody's going to have to figure out what their niche is there.
And you mentioned in our early discussions that, you know, a coal could possibly be impacted.
Yes.
You know, as we're putting together our portfolio of energy to support these.
So right now, and this is just my opinion, I think the coal is not going anywhere. They still need them for the grid on the baseload electricity. I think that if they wanted to build new clean coal facilities and go with the data centers, I'm like, hey, why not? Okay, we have the technology. We can do it. We got the carbon capture. That could be a player coming up here in the future. So why not build new coal facilities? We got that right under our feet, too, in abundance. Okay, Pennsylvania has been blessed with abundance of natural gas, an abundance of coal, and it's needed to move us here in the future for this advanced manufacturing and this AI.
And it is exciting. And my next thought is the LNG terminals here around Philly. Would love to see that.
Those absolutely
come to fruition. One thing is clear with this conversation, Sean, and that is that PA is the place to be right now.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, the summits will be a regular thing. Okay. And that we can capitalize on the excitements. We got about 30 seconds, my friend. Closing words, if you will.
Sure. We got an opportunity coming here in Pennsylvania in the future, okay? We need a commitment from everybody that's going to be involved, and it has to be showed to us as blue-collar building trades labor. There's nobody up to the challenge that can do this except us. We're ready to train the next generations of men and women to build this infrastructure out. We're ready to accept this monumental task, because it is going to be, everybody wants it right now, to build this out. But we need to keep it going. It can't be maybe, it's going to be a yes, this is where we're going, and we're ready to move forward. And it's exciting right now. It's exciting for every one of us in the building trades, and I think throughout all Pennsylvania and the gas industry, and what this is going to bring to us in the future.
Sean Staffy, PA, Boilermakers Local 154, and to our listeners, okay, for tuning in, obviously, on the radio and on Apple TV, Roku, and Fire TV through the NetStream app. We're hitting everybody with this, Sean, and we can't thank you enough, my friend, for laying it out for us. The future is bright in Pennsylvania. Sean Staffy, VA, Boilermakers Local 154. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you, J-Dog. It's been a great time again, buddy.
Always a pleasure. We'll have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org. Or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
This edition of the Labor and Energy Show is proudly presented and sponsored by PBF Energy, Monroe Energy, National Mining Association, and the United Steelworkers. Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. That's why Labor First works with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising the member experience. Retirees can stay stress-free by calling a dedicated healthcare advocate to guide them through their health plans and answer questions. And now Labor First is excited to introduce Health Active, a new solution for active employees and early retirees. Health Active offers the same trusted advocacy support tailored to meet the unique needs of today's active workforce. To learn more, visit laborfirst.com.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Man, J-Doc, I'm hoping that a million people plus consume the content and the conversation with you and Sean Staffy today. Really good, powerful, and insightful educational information. Home run today on the Labor and Energy Show.
Thank you, Joe. And you and I have talked about it many times. Common sense and energy, okay? Not so easy for you and I and Sean and our labor and energy leadership, to convey, okay, over the years, especially to people that are constantly pushing back. AI, the data centers, the future of technology, and an impact to our life has leveled the playing ground, okay? And it is incredibly exciting. So it's so awesome to be on a show with Sean Staffy and have him have a smile on his face and be passionate again, because you and I have talked many times, okay? A lot of the projects that have been knocked down and almost like we've talked about the energy cancel culture, with America having the highest environmental standards on the planet, okay, and still canceling our projects and shutting down the ones we currently have going, only to sacrifice it to others in other countries. This is a fantastic opportunity for America, for Americans, for our communities. And like you heard Sean say, it's also, we have the skilled labor to do it, and the commitment, and the companies, the organizations, and the bipartisan infrastructure to make it happen. Joe, the future is now.
Great way to end the show today on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause. Special thanks to Sean Staffy, who delivered again today. Don't forget to download this episode
of the Labor and Energy Show. You can find it on Apple and Spotify, or you can watch us on Roku TV. On behalf of Sean Steffi for joining us for the full hour, on behalf of my partner, J Doc, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everyone.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Behind every student is a teacher who makes the difference. A teacher who selflessly gives their time, their energy, and their heart. This year marks 25 years of honoring those extraordinary educators through Citadel Credit Union's Heart of Learning Awards. Winners will be announced in May 2026 and will receive a total of $100,000 in grants and awards for their classroom or school. To date, Citadel has awarded nearly $600,000, fueling creativity, compassion, and brighter futures. If you know a teacher who deserves to be celebrated, nominate them today at citadelbanking.com/nominate. That's citadelbanking.com/nominate.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.